Virginia feeder steers set a new price record in January. The national cattle inventory is down again. And an interview with economist Bernd Nelson at American Farm Bureau. From Virginia Farm Bureau, this is Cattle Pulse. It's February 2025, and I'm Elijah Griles in Richmond, Virginia. Thank you for joining us for this month's episode of Cattle Pulse. Let's dive right into those feeder cattle futures contract numbers. The March contract is at $266.60 a hundredweight, which is down 1.2% from a month ago. The April contract is at $266.40 a hundredweight, down 1.6% from a month ago. And the May contract is at $266.40 a hundredweight, down 1.6% from a month ago. A lot of what I think we're seeing here is a correction after a rally that was really fueled by anticipation and then response to the National Cattle Inventory Report. There is still speculation as we move into this week and the rest of the month as to whether this is actually just a correction or a more firm downward trend as we respond to some of the record high prices we saw in the fed cattle markets as well as in these feeder cattle futures. Now, the big news this month is, of course, the cattle inventory update. So USDA National Ag Statistics Service comes out with their cattle inventory report every January, and it came out on January 31st. And we're just going to dive into those numbers. And then I also had a conversation with Bernd Nelson, who is an economist at American Farm Bureau, which we'll get into to kind of unpack the implications of these numbers a little bit more. That number is 86.7 million head were estimated on January 1st of 2025. And that is 1% below the 87.2 million head that we saw on January 1st, 2024. USDA estimates that beef cows are at 27.9 million head, which is down 1% from a year ago, and beef replacement heifers were at 4.67 million head, which is also down 1% from a year ago. So general contraction, but nothing too crazy at this point. Looking at our state level data, Virginia's inventory was estimated at 1.32 million head, which is actually unchanged from 2024. And they estimated that beef cows that have calved is 574,000, also unchanged from 2024. And interestingly, heifers 500 pounds and above for beef cow replacement is 83,000, which is up from 79,000 a year ago. So this is the first sign of expansion that we're seeing, but this is just here at the Virginia level, because we remember that those beef replacement heifers were still down 1% from a year ago at the national level. So in Virginia, you know, if you've got good grass, you're able to weather some of the high prices, and you're really being incentivized by the price that you can get for calves right now, it seems that some producers have just barely begun that expansionary process. Steers 500 pounds and above were 148,000 on January 1st, which is down from 151,000 a year ago. That's being fueled by the incredibly high prices that are being offered. We actually set a new price record for the state for those five weight steers, medium and large one, and we'll talk about what those numbers were at the end of the episode. Our calf crop here in Virginia held steady at 610,000 for last year. We also got our January cattle on feed report, and they estimated that there were 11.8 million cattle on feed, and that's 1% lower than the previous year and also 1% below December. There were 1.64 million cattle placed on feed in December, which is 3% less than a year ago, and there were 1.74 million cattle marketed in December, which is 1% above a year ago. So we're seeing that cattle on feed numbers start to really fall in line with the expectations that we've had, which is that there are going to be fewer cattle being fed. Obviously, producers are trying to get those cattle marketed when we were seeing record high fed cattle prices above $2 a couple weeks ago. Because this is a quarterly cattle on feed report, we also have heifers on feed data. That showed that there were 4.58 million heifers on feed, which is down 3% from a year ago and is still 39% of the cattle on feed inventory. I won't tell you my analysis on that because I talked to Bernd about that, but what is important to note is that while that's not high per se, it is not low either, meaning that it does not seem that a high number of producers are retaining heifers, hence them not going on feed in order to expand their herds. I do want to note, very important for our feeder cattle markets here in the US of A, on February 1st, 2025, USDA APHIS announced that they had lifted the ban on feeder cattle imports from Mexico after they set up quarantine inspection and dipping sites just south of the border in Mexico to prevent the spread of those New World screwworm flies that had been detected in some Mexican cattle last year. So that's very good news. It should help give us the supply of feeder cattle that we need and not continue kind of the contractionary pressures that we've been seeing, and very encouraging for the markets. You know, obviously there's a lot of conversation surrounding trade, which we won't get into at this time, but it is good from an animal health and safety standpoint. The border has been reopened to those feeder cattle. Let's talk to Berent Nelson, who is an economist at American Farm Bureau. Thanks so much for joining us, Berent. Just first question is, given the contraction we've seen over the past few years, do you think we are getting near the end of the contraction phase of the cattle cycle?
We look at kind of what happened last year. On January last year, the inventory was 87.2 million, and this was down about 2% from the prior year. And I mean, that inventory was down 2% from the year before that. So if we think about where we're at in the cattle cycle, we've been in the contraction phase for quite some time now. And I think what this is an indicator of is that we are still contracting in our overall cattle inventory, but maybe not as quickly as we had been in the past. We're extending into year 12 of the overall cattle cycle. Typically, we stick to about 10 years. Right now, we're still contracting, and yet we're seeing some record prices being paid out for fed cattle. So kind of a curious situation that leads us to believe that we're not in a typical cattle cycle. And again, I think where we're headed from here, the answers will lie in what happens to this year's calf crop. So the 2024 calf crop was estimated at 33.5 million calves. So this was pretty much unchanged from the 2023 crop. So if we think about what's going to happen to these calves, our prices for fed steers have already set records this year. We've got generally lower feed costs, you know, for corn and other feedstuffs. And this makes placing cattle on feed lucrative. There's money to be made feeding cattle. This includes feeding the calves from 2024. However, calf prices are also really strong. And so if we think about the cow-calf producer, a lot of which we find in the state of Virginia, this presents an opportunity for these guys to make some money.
To follow up on that, to that same end, the most recent cattle on feed report showed that 39% of cattle on feed were heifers. Could that be an early sign of expansion?
That 39% is pretty close to normal compared to the 41, the 42% that we'd been seeing quite a bit, you know, in the last couple of years. So the fact that we're coming back down to that level could be an indicator that we're considering keeping some more of those animals back. You know, it could also be an indicator that we have fewer heifers available to choose from. And so there's a couple things at play there. It doesn't quite create a definitive story yet. I think we'll know a lot more about that as we get into, you know, the springtime. I think some retention is definitely happening. I mean, there's definitely money to be made in keeping heifers back if you're going to sell the calves off of them. But the kicker to that is that buying bred heifers right now is really expensive. And so even looking at it from a lending standpoint, with the higher interest rates, the high cost of cattle, it's pretty tough to make it a good decision to go out and buy a bunch of bred heifers unless you've got a lot of cash on hand. So I don't think we can quite say that we're geared up for expansion just yet. If we are going to grow, the first chance of this happening will basically be from the calf crop as we look at 2026. So we're not really going to be able to get a clear answer until we get into that 2026 timeline. You know, and if we see kind of more of a slowdown, I think that makes a little bit more sense right now than saying we're getting ready to just shoot up our cattle inventory again.
All right, let's dive into our weather and climate outlook. The drought monitor shows that 9% of the state on the Eastern Shore, Northern Neck, Middle Peninsula, and Eastern Northern Virginia is in severe drought. 34% of the state in Northern Virginia, the Shenandoah Valley, Southeast and Southside Virginia is in moderate drought. And 44% of the remainder of the state is abnormally dry, except for 13% of far western and southwestern Virginia being normal. We have gotten a lot of moisture over the past weekend and anticipating more in the form of rain and snow this upcoming week, so I'm hoping that our drought monitor is going to show some improvement. As far as our outlook goes from the NOAA Climate Prediction Center, the February outlook shows that they anticipate a 50 to 60% chance of above normal temperatures for the majority of the state, except for a slightly lower 40 to 50% chance of above normal temperatures just in Northern Virginia. And they also anticipate mostly equal chances of above or below normal precipitation, except for a 33 to 40% chance of above normal precipitation in far western and southwestern Virginia. So really, it's a mixed bag at this point. We've been seeing a very unsettled weather pattern with cold temperatures, rain, snow, just all types of things going on this winter, it seems. And it looks like February is going to be a continuation of that, except maybe not such a deep freeze as January has been. As I mentioned, we broke a price record here in Virginia for our feeder steers, medium and large number one, 5 weights. Let's look at what those prices were across our markets, and then we'll talk a little bit about what that means. Abingdon Tri-State came in at $286.64 a hundredweight, which is up 3.7% from a month ago. Blackstone was at $304.57 a hundredweight, up 7.2% from a month ago. Lynchburg was at $310.14 a hundredweight, up 7.4% from a month ago. And Radiant was at $323.60 a hundredweight, up a whopping 11.6% from a month ago. Shenandoah Valley was at $316.32 a hundredweight, up 6.3% from a month ago. And Winchester was at $317.43 a hundredweight, up 2.9% from a month ago. That gives us a 6-market average of $309.78 a hundredweight, up 6.5% from a month ago, and up 23% from our year-over-year numbers, so January of 2024. And honestly, this also blows out of the water the record that we set last June of $303.98 a hundredweight for those 5-weight steers, medium and large one, at our state graded feeder cattle auctions. Now, the previous record before last June was set in June of 2015, and that number was $258.34 a hundredweight. So this is very encouraging. Certainly if you're selling feeder calves right now, this is good news. But something I want us to think about as we wonder kind of both on the national level and here on the state level of when will expansion really get going? When will people begin to respond? Obviously, when we're talking about those cattle inventory numbers, we saw that there were 4,000 more replacement heifers in our Virginia herd than there were last year. So that is a sign of some expansion going on. But maybe what's interesting to note is that the $258.34 a hundredweight that was the previous record that was set in June of 2015 has the buying power of $341.60 a hundredweight today. So when we think about those inflation adjusted numbers, that buying power number of $342 a hundredweight, that's still substantially higher than the $309.78 that we set as our average price in January. So I think that, and everyone knows this out there listening, but I think that that's what's really providing some headwinds to that desire to expand and capitalize more on these high prices. Number one, are they going to last? Everyone's wondering. And number two, with the expenses of inputs being so high, these high prices simply aren't going as far. The revenue is getting stretched thin because of the prices of inputs. That's all the time we have for today. I will put in the show notes a link to a market intel report from Barrett Nelson at American Farm Bureau. Thank you so much for joining us on this February episode of Cattle Pulse. Just to remind you, these episodes will continue to come out on the second Monday of the month from here on out. We look forward to talking to you next month.